So good morning. My name is Pastor Mike. For those of you who don't know, if I've not had the pleasure of meeting you or shaking your hand yet, please let me do so before you leave today from service. And I hope, and first and foremost, welcome to Engage Church. I love our sign. If you've seen it, you haven't seen it. And if you haven't, go look at the Assembly of God on the side of the building. Instead of wood letters that are glued with four different glues, it's brushed aluminum. And it's going to look like that in 50 years, as it does today. It's not going to swell and get, you know, faded and paint chipping off because it's aluminum. So anyways, it looks really nice. I encourage you to go look at it. I hope that you came with an expectation today. I hope that you came today ready to hear from God. And if you didn't come ready to hear from God, you've got about 30 seconds to get ready to hear from God, because I believe this word is from Him today. It's always from Him. But I am more fired up today for this than I have been. I shouldn't even say that. That sounds terrible. I'm still fired up regardless of what message I bring, but today's message has a very personal application to it because it's something that I have faced in the past 10 days of my life. So when I say that I am fired up, it's because it's been something that I myself have been walking through, and so I hope that you get the same encouragement from it that I got from reading and writing this sermon. Does that make sense? Did I save myself there? And so today, the goal is to encourage you and to empower you in your faith. Does anybody need encouraged? Does anybody need empowered? Right? So God has big plans for this church. If you were here and you sat through our vision series, you know the plans that He's put before us. You know the dreams that He's put before us. And it means all of us. I'm not talking about this building. This building could go away tomorrow, and guess what? This church does not stop churching. We have the Rock Center. If that doesn't work, we got a parking lot. If that doesn't work, we got Pastor's House. If that doesn't work, we'll go knock on Terry's door and see if she can fit us all in. Okay? The church does not cease to exist because this building ceases to exist. Okay? So the plans for the church, I'm not talking about the building. I'm talking about each and every one of us. I'm curious, by a show of hands here this morning, who here has faced some kind of adversity in the past 2 to 3, 4 weeks? Look around. Don't put your hand down and hide so they don't see you. Come on, keep your hand up there, Jane. I saw you quick throw that down when I said look around. So listen, we all face adversity, right? We all go through some stuff. And so for me, I've gone through it this week, and sometimes it can be adversity that shakes you. Have you ever been faced with something where it just shakes your being, your understanding, what you thought to be? And it might even go as far to, did it maybe shake your faith a little bit? Did it maybe just a little bit be like, oof, and kind of put you in a spot where you're like, wow, this is really hard to be through? I'm here to tell you, you're not alone. Because I've been through it this week as well, and last week. In the last 2 weeks, I've had several ministry and church-related items. Initially, I put issues, but they're not issues, they're items. They're items that have come out of nowhere and caused some figurative and maybe a little bit of literal headache in my life. The type of situations where it kind of leaves you, where you scratch your head wondering what the path forward is. Has anybody else had that, or is that just me? I hope you're with me this morning. So we just finished our vision series for 2024 a couple of weeks ago. And let me just first and foremost tell you, people are bought in. If I could tell you all the stories, I would, but we have had people buy in from each and every one of the messages that we laid out for our dream and vision for 2024. We have a shared dream as a body of believers, and we have a hope for 2024 for Engaged Church. I almost said New Sharon Assembly of God. I've said that for so long. There is a hope for Engaged Church in 2024. And trusting, we stand on because it was whose word? God's word. And because it was God's word, what do? We stand on it. And if we stand on it and we trust Him, guess who sees it about? He does. We just have to be faithful, right? There's an excitement that we all share. Now, there's somebody who doesn't like this excitement, and that's Satan. Satan doesn't want us excited. He doesn't want us energized. He doesn't want us full of faith. So this adversity that each of us have faced, I believe, is an attack from Satan. It's an attack from Satan to pull our attention off of God, to defeat us, and to render us useless. Because if he can steal the vision, he can take away the actions that follow that. However, instead of doing that, we can choose to have faith in the face of adversity. Today we introduce a new series that's going to take us all the way through Easter, and we are going through the book of Ruth. Now, if you have your Bibles this morning, which I sure hope you do, or at least someone next to you does, that they'll share with you, open your books or your Bibles this morning to the book of Ruth, chapter 1. It is the 8th book of the Bible, and we all have it on the overhead. We are reading all 22 verses this morning. As you turn there, I want to encourage you. I want to encourage anyone who has faced some point of adversity or will face, if you haven't in the last few weeks, there's probably something coming because it's forever. It just seems to happen. Here's what you need to know. God wasn't surprised by the adversity. He was not surprised by it. He knew that it was coming, and he's already built it into his plans. However, how we respond is our choice. We can panic. We can put our hands to work trying to figure it out, to do it of our own strength and our own power, or we can stand firm and we can choose faith and trust that God will see us through it. If that's what we choose, know this: His name will be glorified because of it. His name will be glorified, and our strength will be even stronger than when the adversity came. Let's get to our scripture this morning. Ruth chapter 1. In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land, and a man of Bethlehem in Judah went to sojourn in the country of Moab. He and his wife and his two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech, boy, I can't talk today, and the name of his wife, Naomi, and the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephrathites from Bethlehem in Judah. They went into the country of Moab and remained there. But Elimelech, the husband of Naomi, died, and she was left with her two sons. These, her two sons, took Moabite wives. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other, Ruth. They lived there about 10 years, and both Mahlon and Chilion died, so that the woman was left without her two sons and her husband, that woman being Naomi. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law to return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the fields of Moab that the Lord had visited his people and given them food. So she set out from the place where she was with her two daughters-in-law, and they went on the way to return to the land of Judah. But Naomi said to her daughters-in-law, "Go, return each of you to her mother's house. May the Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant that you may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband." Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voices and wept. And they said to her, "No, we will return with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Have I yet sons in my womb that they may become your husbands? Turn back, my daughters. Go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, even if I should have a husband this night and should bear sons, would you therefore wait till they were grown? Would you therefore refrain from marrying? No, my daughters. For it is exceedingly bitter to me for your sake that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me." Then they lifted up their voices and they wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. And she said, "See, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law." But Ruth said, Do not urge me to leave you or to return from following you. From where you go, I will go. And where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. May the Lord do so to me and more also, if anything but death parts me from you. And when Naomi saw that she, Ruth, was determined to go with her, she said no more. So the two of them went on until they came to Bethlehem. And when they came to Bethlehem, the whole town was stirred because of them. And the women said, "Is this Naomi?" She, being Naomi, said to them, "Do not call me Naomi. Call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. I went away full, and the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi when the Lord has testified against me, and the Almighty has brought calamity upon me?" So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabite, her daughter-in-law, with her, who returned from the country of Moab. And they came to Bethlehem at the beginning of barley harvest. I realize that that was a long scripture, but I had to give total context today. So a couple of things that you should know about the book of Ruth. The book of Ruth, that story of Ruth, it takes place during the time of the judges. And so if you read the book of Judges, you can see what was going on in Israel at that time. Ruth took place at the same as the judges. Ruth is one of two books in the Bible that are named after women. And so what we see here is Naomi and her husband with their two kids left Bethlehem during a famine. So when you're hungry, you go find food, right? They left during a famine, and to Moab they went to live for 10 years. And during that 10 years that they were there, their boys, they got married. Naomi's husband and sons also died while they were there. She was left a widow with her sons, widows. So there was a lot of widows in this story. She was in a foreign land, and she knew that she had to return home to Bethlehem because she heard how the Lord was taking care of them. And in a foreign land that didn't share the same things as Israel did of taking care of widows and orphans, she needed to go where she knew she could be taken care of. Naomi urges her daughters-in-law to go back to their families because Naomi was past childbearing age and she had no future to offer these two women. As Naomi herself was hoping to go back to be cared for by her people. After the second time of urging them to go back to their families, Orpah decided to part ways and go home. That's the last time we hear of Orpah in the Bible. Not Ruth. Ruth decided to stay with Naomi. And she utters some of the most recognizable words in the Bible in verse 16 and 17, which I would say is our key verse today. She says, "Where you go, I will go. Where you stay or lodge, depending on your version, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God." There's something to be said about the importance of godly relationships. So first and foremost, godly relationships matter. Ruth could have stayed in her own country with her family. She could have gone back to her dad's house. She could have been cared for. She could have remarried, and we'd never heard of her again. She could have made that choice. But God had a plan. God had a plan. As evidenced by the words of Ruth, she loved Naomi so much, so deeply, and she was so greatly impacted by her faith and relationship with the Lord that Ruth was willing to leave her family, her country, her family's gods, false gods, and everything she knew to stay with Naomi. Who here is hauling off to a foreign country with their mother-in-law? I should have finished speaking before I left it there, huh? Who's leaving? You know, but the truth is, her mother-in-law impacted her life so much, she was willing to leave behind everything that she knew to go and stay and be with Naomi. So there is something about Naomi's faith and her God that Ruth was attracted to. And listen, when we live our lives in such a way that people see our faith, they see how God has dealt in our lives, guess what? They want some of it. Crickets. How are we living our lives? Will people follow us wherever we go if it means that they get to be in the presence of God? Ruth surely also had faith in God for her to remain loyal to Naomi, given the whole set of circumstances around it, which is something that, honestly, we can't do on our own ability. We need the power and the guidance of the Holy Spirit to be able to leave everything in order to be over here where God is calling us. Here's the truth of it. Ruth was sure to face difficulty. Going to a foreign country, so she's a foreigner, she's a widow. Her and Naomi didn't have hopes of much in life. Bible doesn't really tell us what they were going back to. I don't think they had a cabin already set up ready for them. They were gone for 10 years. And in the face of certain hardships, in the face of certain adversities, Ruth was faithful to stay with Naomi and to serve her God, the Lord God. Now, in the weeks coming, if you want to get the rest of the story, read Ruth chapters 2, 3, and 4 over the next few weeks, and you'll know where we're going with this. But I would encourage you to keep coming every Sunday, because we're going to go through this together, and we're going to see what transpires because of Ruth's willingness to choose faith in the face of adversity. If she was not willing to leave home, Ruth would be a very short book, and it wouldn't be as impactful as it actually is. So there's something that we can learn from Naomi and Ruth today. From Naomi in verse 13, if we look at just her situation, is a pretty bleak situation, isn't it? She's lost her husband, she's lost her kids, she's in a foreign country. And so Naomi has an outlook, verse 13, verse 20, and verse 21. Just some key points here. She says, "The Lord's hand has gone out against me." She believes that the Lord is working against her. "For the Almighty has made life very bitter for me. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me home empty." Naomi presumes that her troubles, things in life, are the losing of her husband and her sons, having limited finances, was because she somehow lost favor with God, and that God Himself was working against her. When in truth, there's no evidence of that. There's no evidence that God was working against her. Now, here's something we all need to hear this morning. While sometimes our adversity and hardships can be a result of God's judgment, or they can be a result of God's disapprovals, sometimes they can be the work of Satan. Sometimes they can be the work of the enemy. And sometimes, I hope I'm not the only one that can agree with this, and sometimes they can be the work of ordinary human experiences, because I put my hands to it. This is why it's important to have faith. This is why it's important to pick up your Bible and reading. And by the way, great time to plug this. It's not in my notes. We're doing a Bible reading plan. We're going through the Bible in a year. And if you're not reading your Bible daily, guess what? Bible reading plans are back there on the table. Grab one and join with us in reading through the Bible in a year as the church goes through it together. But this is the time for us to read, to spend time in prayer, to work and to build our faith. Listen, I've heard people assume because they faced adversity, because they faced hardship, it must be the Lord closing a door. Things got hard. That's got to mean that God's closing the door, right? No. It doesn't always mean that. But it must be that the Lord's closing the door, and oh, He's surely got a better plan because He's closing this door on me. That's not always the case. Sometimes it's Satan trying to keep us from walking into God's plan, to keep us from walking in God's favor, to keep us from building our faith. And sometimes it's just because of our own boneheadedness. Yes, I called us boneheads. There's people out here using every adversity, every hardship they face to make decisions to alter and change the course of their life because they face something hard. Maybe, just maybe, that something hard would increase your faith. Maybe that something hard would allow God to move powerfully in your life. Maybe that something hard would bring glory and honor to His name through you because you chose to have faith in the face of adversity. Do not, without prayer, assume when things get hard that is God saying no. Do not do that. Then we can look at Ruth. Ruth in verses 16 and 17. And I'm just going to reread 16 and 17. But Ruth replied, "Don't ask me to leave you and turn back. Wherever you go, I will go. Wherever you live, I will live. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. Wherever you die, I will die. And there I will be buried. May the Lord punish me." I'm reading a different version here if you can't tell. "May the Lord punish me severely if I allow anything but death to separate us." In these words that Ruth said, she decided to stand on faith. She decided to make a stand, and then she made a declaration of that stand by saying, "If anything other than death separates us, may the Lord God deal with me ever so severely because I didn't stay with you." That's a pretty bold declaration. When adversity comes knocking, when hardship comes knocking, when difficulties in life come knocking, we all have a decision to make. Our response is the same as Ruth's. It could be the same as Ruth's. Essentially, we could call it fight or flight. Everyone's familiar with fight or flight. Or in our case, let's call it faith or flee. Have faith or flee. When the car breaks down, when the hospital bills show up, when a fight with a family member goes south, when your marriage starts to dissolve, when your bank account says zero, when your job says, "Sorry, we're downsizing," when you see no hope, when you have no way forward, you don't know where you're going to go, and you're at the end of your sanity, will you choose to have faith in the face of adversity? Will you be like Ruth? My last 10 days have been filled with very uncomfortable conversations, hard conversations, decisions that have a financial impact, decisions that have relational consequences, and decisions that have ministerial consequences and impacts for us as a church and our future. So to say hardships or adversity or difficulties have come on my doorstep in the last 10 days is nothing short of an understatement. However, because we face these adversities, does that mean I should take my ball and go home? We have the choice here to either have faith or to flee. We could pack up, we could take our ball and go home, or, and what I chose to do this week, was choose faith and face adversity. Here's what I know, and I've already said this, but let me just reiterate it for those who are walking through adversity right now. God wasn't surprised. He was not surprised by what you're walking through. He's not surprised with the things that you're dealing with. He's not surprised about any of these situations. Mine, yours, the church's. Not surprised. He wasn't surprised about Naomi's situation either. And he wasn't surprised about Ruth's. So, if he's not surprised, can we trust that He knows how to deal with it? Our choice impacts the outcome here. So let me encourage you. Stand. Have faith. Make a stand on your faith. We know this, that if He'll lead you to it, He will lead us through it. If he'll lead us through it, his name will receive the glory, and your faith will be deeper than when it started. So in adversity, no big deal. God's got it. In practice, in theory, that's very easy to do. I think we can all testify that it's a little bit harder when it comes to real practice in life because, listen, we can be hit with 100 different things at any given time that just shake us. But stand firm and have faith in the face of adversity. By the end of this week, I had conversations with others that just reaffirmed and confirmed in my life where we're going as a church. Things that just, when you have a really bad day, that one thing that somebody says to you can just completely turn that bad day to a good day, right? Everybody's experienced that. So having a few conversations this week, I went from feeling just a little defeated to, no, if Satan's attacking, that means we're about to be effective and we're going to keep marching forward through this. Because we're not turning away from what God has called us to. So we can choose to have faith, or we can choose to flee. And so when it comes to these last 10 days, with our vision and our dream, I literally had moments where I was like, God, I don't know the path forward. I don't know how we recover from this, or I don't know how we lead through this, or I don't know how to make this decision, or I don't know how to partner with this thing. I don't know how to move forward with this. But the conversations that came at the end of the week reaffirmed where we were going as a church. And it makes the things that I've dealt with in the past 10 days seem very minute and not important. See, the vision and dream that God gave me at the end of 2023 to share with you in 2024, for a mere moment it looked less certain. It looked less certain. Just we went from our vision series to the 2-week altar series. So in 2 weeks' time, I was starting to question how this dream and this vision was ever going to come about. But here's what I know. After a conversation with somebody, they just really encouraged me. They said, if God brought you to it, He's going to bring you through it. If He brought you to it, He's going to bring you through it. If He brought us to it, He's going to bring us through it as a church. So the end of the week, it brought encouragement. It brought encouragement from seeing people. And here's what I need you to hear, okay? By the end of this week, I had more people agreeing to step in to the collective vision and dream for our church. Last week, we had 6 people sit through our membership class, which we celebrated that last week. But we had people say, I want to be members here. I want to be part of this church. We love what's going on here. We want all of this. A few weeks ago, we had a handful of first-time givers to our church. People making their first contribution, buying into our church. Yeah, I know it's weird talking about it, but I'm not naming names. The fact is that people are saying yes to what God is calling us to. After our mission series, I had individuals say, hey, we want to get involved. How do we support? Every single week, there have been results of people responding to God in the dream and the vision He's given us for 2024. And guess what? The best part about it is we have people excited to serve the body of Christ. So, I share all this to say, don't get discouraged when life happens. Life is this. Can we agree that this is life? We got our highs and we got our lows. It's a roller coaster, it's a mountain, it's a valley. It is this. There is no even keel, okay? I don't care if somebody told you, listen, life with Jesus is the best thing. So let's just get that. But, because it's the best thing doesn't mean it's just like this. It's like this. Okay? It's going to happen. Life happens. Difficulties happen. Adversity will rear its ugly head in your face. Things may not go as planned. If you're a planner, You know the difficulty when things don't go as planned. Here's what I can say. Naomi probably didn't expect to be a widow. She probably didn't expect to lose her two sons. She probably didn't expect that she would have to return without her family to Bethlehem. But she knew that if she returned to Bethlehem, she would receive the help that she needed. Well, where are you going with this, Pastor? Well, church, if you turn to Christ, you'll receive the help that you need. You'll receive the help. Trust in Him to provide the help that you need. These hands, these make things messy. So we celebrated Caden's birthday yesterday with family. We had cupcakes. And you know the cupcakes now, they put so much dye in them, it's like finger paint, right? If you didn't know this, there's a trick. If you squeeze the bottom of the cupcake, it comes off. And you can smash it on top of the frosting to make a cupcake sandwich. It reduces the amount of frosting that's all over. You laugh, try it, and you're going to say that's genius, okay? Somehow, I ended up with blue frosting all over my hands, yellow and blue. I looked like I had been playing in finger paint yesterday. These hands, they make things messy. Instead, the point of that story was to point us back to Jesus. Jesus takes care of it all. He provides the help that we need. Let Him work on our behalf. Don't get in His way. Don't quit when things get hard. Stand firm and have faith and face adversity. That is when breakthrough happens, church. Is when we go through the hard things and we come out the other side victorious. And here's the most important thing. As Christians, we have a hope that no one can take away from us. Does your paycheck provide hope? It shouldn't, right? It could be gone tomorrow. It could all just go up in flames today. But there's a hope that no one can take away from us. There's a hope that spans across all eternity, and that's through a relationship with Jesus Christ, to have eternal life with Him and with God in heaven forever. Eternity. Now wrap your head around that, because we think in terms of human life, and that's what, 80 to 100 years, right? Eternity. Eternity we get to spend with God. So let us choose to have faith in the face of adversity. Don't let your faith dwindle. Don't let your faith be defeated because of adversity. Instead, stand firm. Stacy, if you want to come on up. Engaging our community for Jesus will certainly bring adversity. Evidence of my week, my last 10 days. And I'm sure that everybody's got their own story they could tell. They will certainly bring hard conversations. They will certainly bring difficulty in our life. Things that we have to work through. But here's the truth of it. God has called this church. God has called you here today in this community, in the communities that you represent, to be a part of this body, that you are to represent Him out there. We are called to share in the vision of this church, and the vision is engaging our community for Jesus. How are you engaging the community, your community, for Jesus? We'll be able to look back and know that in the face of adversity, we trusted God's plan and we remained steadfast in our faith during the challenging seasons of life. Or after a couple of proddings, like Naomi did for Orpah, and she turned and she went back, and we never hear about her again. If we lived during the Judges' time, ask yourself it this way, would a book been written about you? Will we choose to stand steadfast in our faith when adversity comes knocking? If you guys would you bow your heads, close your eyes this morning? We're gonna go, just so you know, we're gonna go a little bit different route than we normally do. First and foremost, do you need hope in the face of adversity? If you do, if the answer to that is yes, Here's what you need to know. You can find it in Jesus. It is in and through Jesus that we can face and have faith in the face of adversity. Jesus died on the cross for our sins. He died on the cross for our imperfections. It's in Him that we find forgiveness. It is in and through Him that we are reconciled in relationship to God. Church, we can have a hope that never fades, that gives us a different perspective, and it'll change our life forever. John 3:16, it says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever doesn't have any prerequisites on who, but whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life." Believe in Him as your Lord and Savior today. And if you do so, receive eternal life and a hope that surpasses all understanding. So, if that's you this morning, if you've never said, I want to make Jesus Lord of my life, I believe in Him. If you have never done that, would you please just raise your hand this morning? Amen. Anybody else? Amen. It's through this belief. It's through this act. We don't need to say a prayer together because the Bible doesn't tell us to pray. It literally says to confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, and you will be saved. So it's through the confession of your mouth saying Jesus is Lord and believing in your heart. And if that is the first time that you have ever done that, or if you've done it a few times, listen, your name is now written in the book of life. You are promised eternity with Jesus Christ. So as we get ready to close today, here's what this is where things are going to go a little bit different than we normally do. We can be confident that we will all face adversity. We will all face adversity. Sometimes we get so deep in the adversity that we forget that we must face the adversity with faith. We also need to remember that God isn't surprised by it. He's got you. He's got it, and He's got you. But sometimes I think we all know that we need a little help. We need a little help in our faith. So if you're going through adversity, you raised your hand at the beginning. Raise your hand again if you have faced adversity in the last 2 to 4 weeks. Put them up. Let everybody see it. Here's what we're going to do differently today. Keep your hands up so everybody can look around. For those of you who have a hand up, I want the family of Jesus to join, and we're going to pray over everybody who has a hand up this morning. I'm going to stay up here, and I'm going to pray for everybody collectively. Find a hand and go pray. So at this moment, if there is a hand up in the air, please, I know it's uncomfortable. I will lead the prayer. I just need you to lay hands and join with me in prayer. Amen? We're going to pray together. So if you don't have anybody around you that are with you to pray, please keep your hand up until we find. I've got 2 different individuals back there. I've got 2 and 3 individuals right here. I've got 2 over here. I've got 1 more over here. Come on, guys. Out of your seats. Get up. Go find somebody with their hand up. And listen, there's enough hands that are up that we might just have to pray for each other through the adversity that we're facing. Keep your hands up. Even if we got to join 5 and 6, 7 people, I don't care. If 5 of us all have adversity, we can all 5 pray for each other. Amen. Is everybody covered? Who still has their hand? Kelly, we see you. We good? Wonderful. So guys, this is the body of Christ. This right here, this is what we're supposed to be doing, is joining and sharing in each other's burdens, lifting each other up in prayer, and encouraging each other. So we're going to pray together. We're going to pray for them. I encourage you to continue to pray for them as we're praying. We're going to pray for increased faith, to walk through this adversity and for their trust to be strengthened in God as He takes care of the details. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray over every individual in here today who has raised their hands, who are going through a difficult situation, who are dealing with hardship. Lord, their hope might seem like it's running out, but Lord, right now we pray over them. We pray that Your Holy Spirit would fill them with Your presence, with Your wisdom. Lord, that You would have an outpouring today, Lord, of people's faith being renewed in You, their faith being strengthened in You. Lord, that they now receive a faith that they don't understand, but they know they can stand firm on it and trust You to take care of the details. Lord, I pray that You would encourage every person in here who's dealing with adversity, who has faced a hardship, or they're walking through a difficult time in their life right now. Lord, that they don't have to do it alone. They've got You and they've got the body of Christ to join them and to be with them and pray them and encourage them and lift them up. Lord, I pray for victory all around this room. I pray, Lord, that Your name would be glorified all around this room. Lord, that there would be complete healing. There would be complete victory. There would be complete provision provided for the needs that are represented here today. Lord, I pray that we leave here encouraged, emboldened, empowered, and we're ready to go tell others about the name of Jesus because of what the name of Jesus just did in our lives here today. Father, we just give You all the glory. I thank You for each and every one of the individuals here today. I thank You, Lord, that their hearts responded to You. I thank You that they were willing to say, you know what, yeah, I'm walking through something. Lord, they were willing to put that out there for others to see. Lord, I pray right now that You are building relationships, that fellowship is starting to build in our church, that we are connecting ever more as a family in Christ because of this work here today. Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit would go forth, that He would start to change our lives, our situations, that people that we work beside tomorrow would say, what is different with you? Oh, you know, I met this man named Jesus, and he changed everything. I pray that You would give us courage to speak, that You would give us wisdom to how to deal with situations. And Lord, if it comes down to it, we're willing to have faith and not flee. Help us to walk through with clear understanding of the situations we're going through. Stop us if we turn to run away from it. But Lord, You've got victory on the other side of what You're about to lead us through. May the most important thing, Lord, be that we will follow You, even if it means walking through adversity. Father, I thank You for Your words. I thank You for Your wisdom. And I thank You that this was not a surprise. None of this that any of us have dealt with is a surprise to You. So, Lord, multiply our faith in Jesus' precious, matchless, holy name. Amen.